So we started this series, Breathing Room, 2 weeks ago. And over the last couple of weeks, several of you have either come to me in person or texted or emailed me and said something like this: "You must have planned that message just for me. Like, you must have been thinking of me and my situation when you prepared that message, because it was exactly what I needed to hear." Several people have said that to me in the last 2 weeks. Now, that should tell you something. What it tells you is I've been listening in on all of your conversations and reading all of your emails. I'm just kidding. That's not what it says. What it tells me is that the problem we've been addressing is a very real problem. It's very pervasive, and it's something we all face and experience. It also tells me that God knows that, the fact that we've been talking about it. That God sees you, He's fully aware of where you are and what you're going through, and He brought you here because He has a word for you. Because He wanted you to know that He knows, and He wanted you to know that freedom is available. So let's talk about that today. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the story of when the disciples were in the boat, crossing from one place to the next over the Sea of Galilee, and a massive storm pops up, and they're in fear for their lives. The boat's being thrown all over the place, and the waves are high, and they are freaking out. And Jesus wasn't with them on the boat. He sent them on ahead, and He said, "You guys go ahead. I'll catch up with you later." And as they're freaking out and in fear for their lives, they notice this guy walking across the water. That doesn't help the situation that they're freaked out at all. They're freaking out more, right? What's going on here? Who is this? How is this possible? And so it turns out that it's Jesus, and they're trying to decide, is it really Jesus, or are we just seeing a ghost, or what's going on? And so Peter hollers out and he says, "If it's really you, Jesus, then call me to come to you." And Jesus did. He says, "Come on over then." And Peter does. He jumps over the side of the boat and starts walking on top of the water. Can you imagine how amazing that must have been? What an incredible experience that would have been to be Peter walking on the water towards Jesus. We don't know exactly how far he got or how long he was doing that until at some point he starts noticing all the chaos happening around him. And he starts getting worried and fearful, and he begins to sink. And immediately Jesus reaches out and rescues him. He reaches out to Peter, who is drowning, and rescues him. Just like Peter, there are many times in our lives where we get distracted and freaked out by all the chaos that's going on around us. All of the stuff, all of the craziness, and we feel like we are sinking, we feel like we are drowning, we feel like there is no hope, and we are frantically trying to just keep our head above water. And just as Jesus reached out his hand to rescue Peter, in the same way he is reaching out his hand and offering to rescue you as well. We've been talking for the last couple weeks about some of the invitations Jesus gives us. He says things like, "Come to me. I will give you rest. I will restore your soul. I have living water to give you, more than enough. Cast all your cares, your fears, your worries on me, and I will take care of you." He says the weight you're carrying that's way too heavy, you don't have to carry that. The weight that I have for you to carry, it is light and it is easy. All of these invitations that God gives us, that's Jesus reaching out to you to rescue you when you're drowning. Last week, we looked at a verse briefly from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We're going to go back to that verse again today. The same Peter who jumped over the side of the boat and walked on water. The same Peter who was freaked out and concerned when he saw the chaos happening around him and began to sink. The same Peter who was rescued by Jesus. He writes these words in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." I pointed out last week that when it talks about giving your worries and cares to God, that word cares, it comes from two words, to divide and the mind. It's those things in our lives that pull our minds in all different directions. when we feel like we're just completely out of control, those things that distract us from what is best, those things that weigh us down, those things that keep us from experiencing everything God intended our lives to be, Peter says, give it over to God. And the honest truth is, most of the time, we don't actually do that. We talk to God about them, but we don't actually hand it over to him. We just inform him. Much of our prayer lives is just doing that. Just saying, God, here's all the stuff going on. Here's why I'm so worried and stressed. Here's what's freaking me out right now. And we'll go into all the gory details of how bad things are, but we don't actually hand it over to him and take our hands off of it. And what Peter says here is he says, give them over to God. And the word he uses here literally means to throw something decisively, almost violently, to take something that I'm carrying on my shoulders and throw it off of myself and onto God. That's the invitation he gives us. And I want to encourage us to view prayer as doing that, as a release, as detaching ourselves from those things that are weighing us down. Not just having a conversation with God. It is that, yes, but it's more than that. It is releasing off of ourselves those things that are too much for us to carry, handing them over to God, and then trusting that he's actually going to do something about that. What Peter writes here, he's actually echoing something David wrote in Psalm 55, centuries before this. Look at what David says in Psalm 55, 22. Notice how close this is to what Peter says. He says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. It's almost exactly the same words. Give your burdens to the Lord. In other words, I don't have to carry it. I can give it over to him, trusting that he will take care of, what does it say? He will take care of you. He'll take care of you. Peter says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. David says, give your burdens over to God and he will take care of you. In other words, my life isn't going to collapse and crumble if I release things to him. It's not going to fall apart because I take my hands off of things that I can't control anyways. The whole point of this series, Breathing Room, is creating space in our lives to meet with God, to experience his presence, and to receive everything that he has made available to us. We need to do that. We long to do that. But in order for us to receive what he has for us, we have to let go of some stuff first. Let me just give a word of clarification here. I believe that much of the time, what is actually weighing us down isn't necessarily the problems we face or the responsibilities we have. Much of the time, what's weighing us down is the impact those things have on us. It's our thought life. It's our emotions running crazy with all of that stuff. It's the stress, the fear, the worry, the frustration, the distraction, having our minds pulled in so many different directions. That is what weighs us down much of the time. You can go back to the story from a couple weeks ago. We talked about Mary and Martha. Jesus is in their home and Martha is running around like a crazy person, trying to fix everything, trying to take care of everything, trying to cook and clean and do all these things. And she's stressed out and she's frustrated because her sister Mary isn't helping her. She's sitting there talking with Jesus, having a conversation with him. And Jesus says, Martha, you're so distracted and worried and upset over all these things. What Mary has chosen is better. And I want you to notice that Jesus didn't correct Martha for serving or for working. What he corrected her for was allowing all of that to consume her, allowing it to infect her attitude, allowing it to get to the place where she was so worried and upset and distracted. In other words, he didn't say to her, just give all of that work over to me and I'll take care of it. I'm just going to magically snap my fingers and I'll cook and clean and take care of all of it so you don't have to do it. That's not what he said. What he said was, don't let it get to this point where you allow the work that you have, the responsibilities you have, to consume you, to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your peace, to steal away the opportunity you have to receive what I have come to offer you here and now. In other words, what we need to be free from is the impact all of these things have on our thoughts and on our emotions. Let me just give you an example of what tends to happen in our thought lives, how something very simple can quickly become all-consuming. Let's say you're running late, you have to get somewhere, you're on your way to work, you need to go to work, or you need to meet up with a friend. You're going to get together with a friend for coffee. And you're held back because something happened in the house. Maybe one of your kids is sick. And you have to take care of that before you can leave. So you send a text to your coworker to let them know you're going to be late for work, or send a text to the person you're meeting and let them know, hey, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little bit late. I have to take care of this. My kid's sick. And you describe the situation and you get back a one-word reply. And the one-word reply is, okay. How many of you, your mind goes to, okay, that's it? That's all I get. I told you my kid is sick. You don't know how sick they are. You don't ask, how can I be praying for you? Oh, I'm so sorry this is happening. Are you okay? What can I do? No, you just, okay, what is that? You've done that, right? Haven't you? Or how many of you go down this path where you're trying to figure out, what exactly do they mean by okay? Like do they mean okay, like they're angry at me, like it's my fault my kid is sick? Or do they mean okay, like they're suspicious, they think I'm lying to get out of something? Or do they just mean okay, like thank you for letting me know? You've gone down this road, haven't you? And we get stressed out and we get irritated with the person because we don't know, what did you mean by that simple word, okay? And we get consumed by it. That's just one example of countless things where our minds can just go crazy and it can turn a day into a really bad day, right? And it's those kind of simple things and the bigger stuff too that Jesus says to us, just bring that to me. You don't have to carry that around all day. You don't have to be consumed by that. You don't have to let that run rampant in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your emotions. Just lay it down at my feet. Let me set you free from that. From the fear, from the frustration, from the anxiety, from the divided mind being pulled in all different directions. He says, give all your worries and cares over to God. When God gives us that invitation, give all your worries and cares over to God, he's not saying, guess what? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do any work. You have no responsibility. Now you can just sit back in a hammock and drink umbrella drinks all day long. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying God's going to fix all of your problems automatically and do all your work for you so you have nothing to... It's not saying that. He's saying give your cares and your worries to God. The impact of those things, the weight of those things, the thought process, the what ifs. Because that's what worry is, isn't it? It's all the what ifs. What if this happens? What if this goes wrong? What if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't work out? And we do this thing where we go, what is the worst case scenario? What's the worst possible thing that could happen? And we latch onto that and say, that is definitely what's going to happen. This is where Jesus points out that doing all of that accomplishes nothing positive for us. Look what he says in Luke 12, verse 25. He says, can all your worries, can your remote work? No, that's not what it says. Wow. Maybe if I keep pushing the button. Okay, I'll walk over here and do this then. There we go. Now it's going to jump ahead like 17 slides in about 5 seconds. Okay, here's what he says. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a simple little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Jesus says, worrying about all this stuff, it's not going to help you, and it's definitely not going to fix the problem anyway. So what's the point? It's not useful. It's not accomplishing anything. And so he says, give it to me. The worry, the fear, the stress, the frustration, the what ifs, all of it, he says, just hand it over to me. Is this making sense? Now, again, it's not saying that we do nothing. Remember, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And he says, the burden that I have for you to carry, it is light and easy. In other words, Jesus says, I do have something I want you to carry. And so what do? We carry that and we give the rest over to him. What Jesus gives me to carry, that's my to-do list. All the other stuff, that's my prayer list. So how do I know which is which? Well, we listen. We pause and take time in his presence and listen to what he's saying. Ask him the question and he'll show you. He will answer and give you wisdom and guidance in that. And I think the pushback for us whenever we talk about handing things over to God is we go to, well, I have to do something about this. I have to fix this problem. I have to do something. Well, if you're praying about it and actually handing it over to God, that is doing something. See, we need to remember how powerful prayer is. That when I take something in my life that I don't have any control over anyways, something I can't fix, I can't fully understand, I can't fully figure out, something that's way too heavy for me to handle, when I take that off of my shoulders and place it in the hands of an all-powerful God, that's not doing nothing, that's doing something. And that's the rescue Jesus offers us. He says, give it over to me. That is the rescue that he makes available to us. I like what St. Augustine said. He said, we must empty ourselves of all that fills us so we may be filled with what we are empty of. He's absolutely right. You see, in order to make room for God to fill us, we have to let go of some things. We have to start moving out of our souls all of the clutter that has been accumulating and infecting us there and hand it over to God. What Jesus offers us is renewal, new life, living water, hope and restoration, peace, rest for our souls. He says that is available to you, but we have to exchange some things for that. What we have to exchange is all the stuff we've been holding on to that is weighing us down. I've been reading through the Psalms over the last few weeks, and there's a word that occurs there. It's an unusual word. You may have seen it if you've ever read through the Psalms. It's a word, Selah. Very simple word. It usually shows up at the end of a paragraph over on the right-hand side in most Bibles. That word occurs 71 times in the Psalms. And the word Selah means to pause or to rest. Now, the assumption has been for a long time that that's a musical term, because many of the Psalms are actually songs too. And so the assumption is that that's a musical term telling the musicians, pause here before you go to the next verse. But what if it's more than that? What if it's more than just a musical pause? What if it's actually an invitation to pause and to recognize God's presence and God's power in light of what has just been described? The version that I've been reading is called the Passion Translation. And wherever it has that word Selah, it interprets it in this way: pause in his presence. I like that. It's given me a new perspective on some of what God reveals to us in the Psalms. Let me give you a couple of examples. Thank you. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Listen to how they whisper their slander against me, saying, look, he's hopeless. Even God can't save him from this. Pause in his presence. What if instead of that being an invitation for musicians to pause, what if instead that is David saying, I'm surrounded by enemies. They're speaking out against me. They're mocking you, God, and saying, you can't even save me. God, I'm just going to bring all of that to you, and I'm going to pause here in your presence. Verse 3. He says, but in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You lift high my head. I have cried out to you, Yahweh, from your holy presence. You send me a father's help. Pause in his presence. God, I know that you surround me with yourself. Even though I don't see evidence with my eyes, I feel surrounded by my enemies. But God, in my heart of hearts, I know you are my shield. You surround me. You protect me. You lift me up when I need to be lifted up. And when I call out to you, you answer me like a loving father. I'm just going to pause right here in your presence, God, and acknowledge your goodness to me. 71 times in the Psalms, this happens. We talked earlier about Psalm 55:22, where David says, give your burdens to God and he will take care of you. Here's how that psalm begins. Verse 2. Here I am, moaning and restless. I'm preoccupied with the threats of my enemies and crushed by the pressure of their opposition. They surround me with trouble and terror. In their fury, they rise up against me in an angry uproar. He describes all of this, and then he says, pause in his presence. Knowing all of this, all of my enemies coming against me, all of the plans they have for me, they are filled with fury and they're coming against me. I just need to pause right now and recognize the presence and the power of the living God with me in the middle of what I'm facing. Look at what he says in verse 17. This is such a good practice. He says, every evening, I will explain my need to him. Every morning, I will move my soul toward him. Every waking hour, I will worship only him, and he will hear and respond to my cry. What a great practice. Every evening, I'm going to talk with God about what's going on. Every morning, I will turn my soul towards him. See, that's a choice we make. We can decide to orient ourselves towards him. We don't have to miss out on him. He says, every waking hour, I will choose to worship only him. David says that, and then he goes on. He says, though many wish to fight and the tide of battle turns against me. Think about that. It's getting worse. The tide of battle is turning against me. It's not going in my favor. It's not looking good. He says, even though that's happening, by your power, I will be safe and secure. Peace will be my portion. And then he says this, God himself will hear me. God enthroned through everlasting ages, the God of unchanging faithfulness, he will put them in their place, all those who refuse to love and revere him. Pause in his presence. You see, God invites us in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our stress, in the middle of our trials, in the middle of all of it, God invites us to come to him and to pause in his presence. But more than that, he invites us in his presence to make the choice, to make the decision, to hand it over to him, all of it. The stuff that's weighing us down, the stuff that makes our minds run in 1,000 different directions, he invites us to hand all of it over to him. And so after describing all of this pain he's gone through, in some of the verses we didn't look at, David talks about being betrayed by a close friend. He describes a friend and says, I love this person dearly, like a brother. We've been so close. We've shared meals together. I trusted this person and he turned against me. He opposed me and endangered my life. And he describes all of this. And then he says things like, he says, I'm restless. I am preoccupied with what's going wrong in my life. I feel crushed. I feel pressured. I feel surrounded by my enemies. Can any of you relate to this? And at one point he says, I just want to run away and hide. And then he uses words like terror and fear and dread. And in the middle of all of that, David says this in verse 22. He says, so here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will surround you. Through all of these trials, the pain of betrayal, the stress, feeling preoccupied in my thought life, feeling crushed by my emotions, feeling surrounded by my enemies, having these desperate desires to just run away from my problems and escape and hide. He says, through all of this, I've learned that what I really need to do is to lay all of it, all of my cares, my worries, my fears, my frustrations, my anxieties, to lay it at his feet and leave it there. Not just to tell him how bad it is, not just to describe all the details of how upset I am and how frustrated I am, but to take it off of my shoulders, to place it at his feet, and to trust that God has a plan and that God will take care of me.
Amen.
Thank you. That's what God invites us to do. If you are drowning right now, Jesus is holding out his hand and offering to rescue you. And this is how. Now, admittedly, it takes practice. It's not easy to do that. We tend to lay things at his feet and then pick them back up again. This takes practice. And this is where last week we talked about the 1-minute pause. Several of you have shared with me that you've started using that. I encourage you to keep using that, and if you haven't, to start. Because it is a good way of practicing, of teaching ourselves how to do this, turning our souls towards Him, teaching ourselves to let go of those things that are weighing us down, and then receiving everything that He has made available to us. So we're going to actually practice this once again this morning before we continue. We're going to practice the 1 minute pause one more time. Again, it's a free app. It's available on our website. The link is there on the podcast page. Just go click on it, download it, and start practicing it. It's a simple way of releasing those things, detaching ourselves from those things that are weighing us down, and then receiving everything that He invites us into. So I'm just going to ask everybody, just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe take one or two deep breaths.
Jesus, I give everyone and everything to You. I give everyone and everything to You, God. I give myself to You, Jesus, for union with You. I am created for union with You, God. I give everything in me for union with You, Lord. I need more of You, God. Fill me with more of You. That's good. That's enough for now.